Hello and welcome to another episode of the Low Code Podcast. Today we have with us today David from Glide. I'm super excited to have David here. David, how are you?
I'm great, Jesus. I'm with my colleagues. We are in an Airbnb sprinting on the Glide Big Tables, the nice. New higher scale data source for Glide. So it's great to be together in person.
Yeah, it is. So I want to go back in time, and I want to understand better why you guys decided to stop working at the Xamarin, at a Microsoft or Windows company, and build your own product. What was the reason of leaving probably a comfortable job and starting something on your own?
There were a lot of reasons. The first is that my co-founders and I, co-founders of Glide, we'd spent all of our career building software development tools for a really small audience and technical software developers. And they're really fun to build for because they're super powerful users. They have all of this knowledge. When you build for example, when you build tools for software developers, like Visual Studio Code or GitHub, or when you build tools for designers like Figma, tools that require a lot of expertise and knowledge to come with the user, that combination is explosive and really exciting. But they're very narrow tools. And I wanted to just like do a startup in general for the experience of challenging myself and learning as much as I could really quickly before I sort of reached a plateau in my career where I'm just sort of mature and being an executive or yeah. something like that.
Yeah.
And when you embark on a startup, you have to ask yourself, like, could I spend 10 years working insane hours on this idea? And although our strengths were in building software development tools, I didn't have another decade in me of really like loving the software engineer user that I had been building for so long. Cause that's, you have to like be really invested in the users you're building for. Mm-hmm. And after years of building for them and throwing conferences for software engineers and communicating with them, I wanted a fresh audience. And I also had this kind of personal desire to have my wife or my parents like understand what I do. As long as I was working in development tools, like, oh, I built this new CI for building and distributing mobile apps. Like, they didn't really get it.
Right.
So you put all those things together. We want to challenge ourselves. We want to learn a lot. We want to create a new company. And we want to use our strengths in building developer tools, but we want to build it for a new audience. Maybe if we built developer tools that let anyone create the software that we're normally empowering just technical, very small groups of engineers to build, that would be an ambitious, bold, challenging mission.
Was that the first idea that you guys had in terms of what the new startup that you wanted to build should focus on, or you ideated on several?
We made a couple developer tools for software engineers. So we have one that's still very popular to this day called QuickType. It's an open source project, quicktype.io. It's a really powerful and popular tool. I estimate about 100,000 engineers use it every month that helps you write code more quickly when dealing with data. It was kind of the inspiration for Glide. So we had some small ideas about how we would turn that into something that companies would pay for. Then we built another sort of machine learning driven analytics tool with a really good developer experience called AutoTune. And the idea was you would add the simple JavaScript snippet to whatever website you're working on, and then you would tell AutoTune a few basic variables to try, and then it would run permutations with different colors and header copy and calls to action and layouts, and a machine learning algorithm on the back end would like kind of tune and optimize your website. So that was one. And that was kind of interesting, but again, wasn't the thing that like makes me leap out of bed every morning and like sprint to my desk to build the next feature, like something to help people optimize their.
So was the goal was to have a lot of users, that the target market was everyone or just millions of people instead of thousands?
Well, just, you know, having a large vision.
Okay.
That you can inspire people to join a startup with, like, I want it to be just large and impressive and inspiring. And I grew up really loving what Apple did to computers, making computers, which were these complex, at one time, room-sized machines that no one really thought would have, that normal everyday people would have anything to do with. Such a bold, challenging idea in the early days of the PC that not only would every business have a computer, and maybe even people would have computers in their homes. Like, this was a crazy idea at one point.
Right.
So I've always loved that idea of technology, computer technology that seems inaccessible or not relevant to people in their everyday lives. The idea of the creative leap that makes that relevant and valuable to a broad audience and it brings into their lives. And today, you know, computer, what does computer mean? Like, is definitely a computer. We put computers in our ears like you have. We put computers on our wrists. We put computers on our face soon and into our bodies, I'm sure, in the next decade. You know, the computer changed so much. So software development is like very, very closely associated to that idea. And somehow made computers go everywhere and become very relevant to people. And software too, obviously, like for consuming it. But there's this big missing piece of the people who use those computers and use the software that those computers run, influencing that software, creating it for themselves. So it just seems like a challenging problem that if solved would just be explosive and would be hugely impactful.
When you were thinking about that, when you were thinking about Glide, did you think about a company out there or someone who had already done something similar? Were you thinking about a WordPress, what WordPress did for websites in terms of software development? What were you looking up to? Because today we have a lot of no-code and low-code tools.
Yeah.
Back then, I mean, it's not that long ago, but the space wasn't even born yet as it is known today. So what were you looking up to?
Sure. Well, we weren't looking at the existing companies that tried to do Glide, because if we look too closely at them, there's this funny story. Like when we were brainstorming about what to work on, my co-founder Mark said, "Oh, we should make it easier for people to build apps." And I said, "No way." Every time I've seen someone try to build an app builder for companies, it's this unlovable, terrible product. Mm-hmm. And even worse is the software that you actually create with that app builder.
Right.
It's even worse. And okay. I was like, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And Mark said, "Well, you know, do you think it's possible to actually do this well?" And, you know, through a couple more questions, I realized that I should actually view that as an opportunity, that all the existing solutions were so bad. But what I looked for inspiration, I mentioned Apple, like Apple making computers so personal. I wondered, is there a similar opportunity for software development itself? So that's one analogy.
Okay.
Another was just looking at Microsoft as a company that creates developer tools and got their start selling compilers and building productivity tools. I think Microsoft is probably recognized as the world leading developer tools company. So I thought, is there a Microsoft that has, you know, maybe better product and design sensibility that's building developer tools, but for the office audience, for like, you know, the people who use Word and Excel, a broader audience. And GitHub as well, as sort of an exciting GitHub, now part of Microsoft, an exciting collaborative place that really elevated this idea of creating software to something that was the basis for a community and a brand that people really find attractive.
How did you came up with a name for Glide?
Glide? Well, usually when people create software companies, they come up with these like really technical and kind of annoying names. This has changed a bit, but like, you know, these automator.ai or confabulatrix or, you know, these sort of gross names that you wouldn't want to like say when you're home, you know, like,
okay,
if we're going to make software development tools that are relevant for everyday people, I wanted a term that like everyday people would find attractive and interesting and they would be able to say it without feeling embarrassed. So Glide is kind of like an everyday word with positive connotations. It makes you think of sort of going up in the air, something that's smooth and easy. And it kind of is a little bit of a related to Excel. Excel is a word because we were inspired by spreadsheets in the early days. Excel is like this word that kind of launches you up into the air and makes you go faster.
Okay.
So glide kind of has a little bit of that as well, with maybe a little bit more panache.
So you started as CEO and then Mark as CDO. I think Jason was there as well. How did you decide who was going to do what?
I think it was just pretty clear based on our strengths.
Okay.
And we did this startup accelerator incubator program called Y Combinator. And they said, you know, one of the questions that they will ask in the meeting, which isn't too important, I would say, when you're just people with an idea trying to find someone to care about what you're building. They said, oh, they'll ask you who the CEO is. And if you guys don't already agree on who that is, if like multiple people raise their hand and say, I'm the CEO, that's a big red flag to investors that you don't have a stable team. So we just sorted out our roles for clarity very early on.
Do you think that was a good choice? Would you do something else today instead of being CEO?
Honestly, like every role inside of Glide fascinates me, from support to sales to marketing to engineering. Like if I could somehow like duplicate myself and like work on everything, I just love it all. But no, I think we're pretty happy with everyone's roles.
And how, I mean, obviously the role as CEO when you started 3-4 people, and today that you have a larger team, 30 people maybe, how has that evolved? Because originally probably you were even coding or being part of the product, and now you do maybe a bunch of other things. How has that evolved, and how has your personality evolved with that as well?
Interesting question. When you're 3 people and you have no customers and you're trying to put your website up, you feel a bit silly saying I'm the CEO.
Right.
I never took it too seriously. And it's very, you know, you can start a company for probably $100 today. So
the
barrier to becoming a CEO is lower than ever. Now that the team is about 40 people, we're leading through creating something that is such a challenging idea, the software development tools for everyone. It's one of the more ambitious software companies that you can create, honestly. The software that creates software. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to have any technical knowledge to succeed with it. Oh, and also the software you build with it is going to be very sort of contemporary and smooth and fast and well-designed. You're also solving the design challenges. Like, it's huge. Not as challenging maybe as like OpenAI and like creating an AI, but like it's on that spectrum. It's sort of like, you know, connecting the dots between the different teams, hiring great leaders to head up our sales, marketing, engineering, et cetera. Keeping people inspired, keeping the energy and momentum of the company up and increasing, especially when you're working remotely, which is just hugely challenging. Representing the company well, explaining the vision, explaining the ideas. Supercharging the community.
Do you spend your days mostly with your team or outside, like, I don't know, raising money, speaking with customers? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Most of my time is spent with the team and talking to
customers.
Yeah, I don't focus right now, especially because, you know, we raised our Series A last year. I'm not spending a lot of time. No time raising money. I will talk to investors, but mostly it's about building Glide. We have a huge, ambitious plan. And we built up the team a lot just in the last a quarter or so, actually. So helping that team gel, helping create clarity, helping just run the plan and build what we're building.
Do you think it's very challenging or not so much when you had the starting team? Everybody's probably very much aligned. And then you start onboarding people that don't know the story of Glide, don't know how you started, but see the company where it's today, but don't know like the journey it has gone through. Do you think that becomes a challenging issue when growing? What do you do in order to make it easier for them so that the strategy is the company's aligned? And I see that ourselves and the team, when you start growing, everybody hopefully does the best they can do, but sometimes vision is not the same throughout the company. So how do you make everybody go the same way?
Well, it's something I'm learning. And it is a big challenge. One thing that helps is just being a broken record and like telling the story and explaining the mission. Every Friday we have a whole team sync, and We'll talk about the mission. And when we do something, I try to put it in context. Why are we doing this? Just explain it over and over and over again, as if everyone just started that week. It is one of the most important things you can do. I think that's the trick. Like, you know, if you start with a team of four people who are super connected and they built the first version of the product in a room together and you have that kind of mind meld, and then you add 20 people and now you're working remotely and there's new people joining all the time, it's easy to sort of forget that the environment has changed and the company has changed so much, because you built up that context and those assumptions in your mind. You have to throw them away. I think just that's one job of the CEO, is like, be the broken record that just reminds people of the mission and talks about the customer and tells stories from the early days of the company to share that culture, and builds new culture by getting the team together and learning what they value and how they can get along and how they can build.
Cool. So now, coming back to the product, a question that I've always had is, why, if you were coming from Microsoft, why the first version of Glide was built on top of a Google Sheet and not Excel? Didn't it make sense, since you were already in the Microsoft space, to build a product that sat on top of Microsoft products?
So that's another great question. Microsoft bought a startup that I was in, and I spent 2 years there. And ever since, people say like, oh, you're a Microsoft guy. You're coming from Microsoft, XYZ. Like, I've been a Mac user my whole life and an open source guy. And Glide was like, you know, built on Macs and it's deployed on Google Cloud. There wasn't a lot that we thought to like bring with us from Microsoft. Also, we were very paranoid when we started the company about having any conflict of interest. We didn't want anyone to think that we were like working on something for Microsoft, and then we thought, oh, we could do this ourselves and own it, so we better like leave. We didn't work on Glide when we were employed by Microsoft. We like kept, there was a firewall there. So yeah, implicating like Microsoft ideas and technologies was very far from what we were thinking about. But practically speaking, like there are a ton of integrations with Google Sheets out there, and it was just popular with the kind of early adopters that we were talking to. And also at the time, like, online Excel had basically no traction as far as I knew, and like we also weren't even using it. And when we would interview customers, and also our early customers were like friends, family, tech workers in San Francisco. Everyone had exposure to Google Sheets and to Excel.
Okay. And then eventually you ended up adding multiple data sources. And I think Glide's tagline of build an app from a spreadsheet now no longer exists, right? So do you think that choosing Google Sheet as the first backend of Glide was the right choice? Did it get you the right customers? Because something that I want to talk more about is how the customer persona for Glide has evolved or changed, or maybe you targeted a certain type of customer and eventually you changed that. Was that the right choice to start from a spreadsheet? Because if we look at the space, every other no-code app builder out there is starting the same way. Like, they all sit on top of Airtable, Excel, Google Sheets. So based on who you are targeting today, do you think that was the right way to get started?
I think so, because it really tested the idea that non-technical people would want to create practical software. We did get a lot of the wrong type of customer. And that's people who they're trying.
And was that because of pricing or features?
Lots of reasons.
I
wouldn't say that connecting to Google Sheets was something that brought us closer to the wrong type of customer. The wrong type of customer is like, you know, Glide's customers are existing businesses that want to improve through creating custom software, not the person who is a company of one with an idea for an app store app who thinks that they could create a big company predicated just on the app experience. Glide is mostly concerned with creating private software for existing companies. And I think a lot of those people will use Google Sheets because it's basically free. So you have people who are custom, who think maybe that software is free. And so that, in that sense, that's not a great customer, but I don't think I would change anything, because it created so much buzz and momentum and got us a lot of feedback. And in the early days of a company, you don't need the perfect customer. You need people who actually are interested in what you're doing to create a feedback loop and to create a role for your team. And you can't go too far.
But aren't they giving feedback that's not valuable eventually because your client is someone else and they're giving feedback for their use case?
Well, for at least for basically 2 years, we're just putting the fundamentals in place. And I still say we're putting the fundamentals in place. So, you know, the customer says, I need a button that when I press it is going to add data to the spreadsheet so that I can build this Tinder competitor. Well, we can just like listen to the first two thirds of that feedback. Okay. Yeah, we need a button that adds data because this customer who's using Glide in their warehouse really needs to track when the inventory is missing. And so as long as we sort of kept our framing of where we're taking Glide ultimately, you can filter the type of feedback to understand like where you need to add a capability. And we never got too distracted by people trying to build app store apps or public facing social networks and stuff. We had enough clarity to like never really take that seriously as the future of our business.
Now, when you're looking at that feedback, is that feedback was very valuable at the beginning? Is it still as valuable today? Is it like today, are you launching new features or even new products, whatever, based on feedback? Or do you think that you know what your client wants and then you decide what to launch next and then publish it and see if it sticks?
We build with a ton of feedback, but the feedback comes from, in many cases, either existing customers who have successfully built Glide apps at their company that are used by hundreds of people, or customers that we view as like sort of the next step for the company that maybe talk to our sales team and tell us the requirements. And they say, we really like what Glide is. We have these sort of non-technical and our people do a proof of concept. They built the app in 2 days when we set 3 months aside for this. We can't believe how easy it is. But we exported data from our production database into a Google Sheet to create the proof of concept. And for us to actually buy and deploy, like we need a direct connection to our MySQL database or something. That's the type of feedback we get every day. So we write that down and prioritize it.
Okay. How has the roadmap for Glide changed? Has it always been the same? Or do you think there has been a main pivot or pivots during these 2-3 years?
Well, one way it's changed is last year we were focused on sort of growing horizontally, sort of taking the mobile interface and expanding to web and desktop. And if you're just listening to this podcast, I'm like spreading butter on toast with my hands to demonstrate going horizontally, sort of like adding an adjacent interface style to mobile and adding Airtable, Google Sheets, Airtable, Excel, file upload, and BigQuery, sort of scaling horizontally in data sources. And what we learned last year is like, these were good things to add to be, we don't want to just be this sort of one trick pony of Google Sheet to mobile app. We view ourselves as a general software developer tools company building software for non-technical people. So I'm happy that we were able to expand that way, but this year is all about going deeper and increasing the capabilities of Glide with automations, third-party integrations, simplifying just the basic business use cases that today require you to sign up for other related tools and sort of connect webhooks and zaps and stuff. We're really trying to simplify that because that's very hard for average people to figure out.
But that has always been kind of the vision of Glide, hasn't it? Because I remember a couple of years ago, you mentioned Glide apps, Glide pages, and then automation, which is something that we're starting to see this year. But has there been anything that changed in this process as you start learning more about who your customer is?
Has there been anything that changed? I think, we're still pretty much executing. The urgency changed. You know, we want to just move faster all the time because we can see that this is a very competitive space, no code. And it used to be, if you said no code just 2-3 years ago, you would think of like landing page builders launching on Product Hunt. And now there's a lot more credibility about no code going into businesses. And that was where we thought things were going. So that's become clearer. And just for example, Zapier launching Zapier tables, interfaces, Airtable launching interfaces. They're sort of, we call it the three legs of the stool: interface, database, and then automation. You right. see companies that started with database adding interface and right. automation, and companies that started with automation adding interfaces. So you see this kind of expansion happening, and it's extremely competitive. So very exciting. Does that mean
that do you think that eventually a small and medium businesses, I mean enterprise business, will end up choosing, just like today you decide if you're going to be using Google Workspace or the Microsoft environment, will that happen with these app builder platforms, that you will choose Glide and do everything in Glide, or you'll choose Zapier and do everything there? Or do you think that even if you choose some tool, you'll end up using multiple tools that do kind of the same thing?
I think you'll end up using multiple tools. I think companies will like prefer one sort of software development ecosystem to buy into, but they're always going to be okay. broadly compatible with each other. So if you really love Glide's interface and automation story, but you really like Airtable's interface for managing your data, you'll use them together.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be a lot more acquisitions in this space? Just like Google has a like AppSheet, and there are a few big players in the software world, software for businesses, that have been buying last couple of years, a few no-code app builders. Is Glide built for that? Is that Glide's goal, or do you envision Glide as Glide itself and not being part of a major software company?
Our goal is to be an independent company and to make the brand Glide synonymous with the ability for anyone to create valuable software. And we're not trying to build like Microsoft Glide.
Okay.
I just think that software development is such a potent part of human experience that like an iconic company and an iconic brand could be built on the premise. And I think the world okay. will be richer if there is a company that represents that to everyone versus sort of merging into one of these behemoth companies. So no, I want 10 years from now, 5 years from now.
Glide is still Glide, right?
We just ask someone, hey, I need to create some software. We don't have any developers. They said, you've got to use Glide. It's amazing. It's super easy to use. It builds beautiful software. And they have this great security story where it's actually the software you build on Glide is faster and more secure than you could even build if you hired programmers. That's the story I want.
Do you think that Glide, just as Glide adds more features, it might also end up being more complex to build very, very custom or complex apps? And I see, I've been recording this second season of the podcast. We have like 5 or maybe 8 episodes recorded so far. And something that I've seen is that either you decide as a no-code tool to focus on the very no-code world, like anyone can build an app. And I think that was one of Glide's taglines, like 1 billion developers by 35 or something. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you have like, oh, this is a platform that is extremely powerful. And everybody says that they want to cater to both types of users. But in 5 years, who do you think will be Glide's ideal customer? Will Glide be like the Canva for making an app? Or do you think Glide will be more geared towards someone that understands a little bit of logic, a little bit of database structure?
We're building for non-technical users. The world is becoming more technical. So it's meeting in the middle a little bit. Like, okay. I think, you know, a year ago, it'd be very hard to find anyone who has like interacted with one of these AI tools. And I think 3 years from now, like 80% of people that you find will like have used an AI tool in some way, will understand some basic ideas about what its capabilities are and how to get what you want out of it. So I think that tide is rising, but we're trying to solve what we view as like the very difficult and valuable challenge, which is creating these tools that create powerful, useful software, but always keeping them easy, simple, fun to use. There is some human intelligence required in the tool. Like you mentioned logic, there's room for mastery in these tools. And if you want to create an app that shows a list of all of your customers who haven't yet paid, but have ordered more than $10,000 of merchandise in the inventory, they're not based in the US, and they're and have no middle name, you do have to understand like how those three criteria about the customer need to be linked together logically to create one criterion that filters a list. Right. And I'm using language that's not very approachable by saying criterion, but you have to and them, you know, and like, so mm-hmm. and is a concept that's a logical concept, but and or are sort of, they're sort of axioms of information that we have to like either assume people know those things or help them learn it. So there will always be some learning or some conceptual apparatus in Glide, but we're trying to minimize it and guide people either by making the product anticipate what you want or make better suggestions or maybe use AI, and also mm-hmm. on the education front by writing great documentation, tutorial videos where you can actually learn as well. So I think Glide will, you will always be rewarded if you are a more sophisticated user of Glide, but we're trying to just, you know, low floor, high ceiling is a metaphor that I hear pretty often for tools yeah. like this. Like we want you to be able to, you want to just create something basic, it'd be very easy. And if you want to create 100 apps to run your entire international organization, they'll be more involved with doing that, but it should still be something that someone who's not an engineer can accomplish.
Do you see something that I've discovered recently is that most no-code tools, as they grow, their typical client changes. And while they start in the no-code space, because it's a very receptive space, everybody's trying the next new tool. Eventually, as they mature, they start moving towards a more enterprise world. Recently, yes. I was interviewing Formstack, and they started as a form builder, but today they're really focused on the Salesforce world and building an interface between Salesforce platforms and their product with forms and stuff like that. And that means that not anyone in the US or in the world uses Salesforce. So you target a very specific and unique niche that probably has the money to spend a few hundred dollars a month. So do you think that Glide's route will be similar in terms of starting to target more like larger companies maybe, or do you still want to cover in the next 5 years an SMB that has whatever, 20 employees and a Fortune 500 that uses Salesforce or NetSuite or platforms like yeah. that?
I mean, you know, 80% of Glide's revenue in the long term will come from companies like that. And if you look at, you know, I mean, first of all, Glide's largest customers spend thousands of dollars on their one Glide account per month. So when we have customers who are like calling my cell phone on Christmas Day, who pay us $10 a month, I'm not very excited about that. You know, like that can't last forever. But if you look at like the story of Slack has this incredible free version used by nonprofits and communities, and Slack's largest customers pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for Slack. So like there's mm-hmm. real revenue there. Mm-hmm. What I want is I want like a broadly accessible and free in many cases platform that's
okay
used by SMBs, small businesses, prototypers, et cetera. But yeah, most of the business will be driven by the largest customers.
Yeah. Doesn't that require a huge valuation so that you have a lot of money to spend on? Like I see mostly bootstrap platforms don't have the capability to have a very large free model or a freemium model because the numbers don't make sense. And then like Notion, they can throw away discount codes and stuff like that because they're using VC funds. Well, would that be the case? Bootstrapped. Right.
And also it's like it's usage based. So there won't be a free version of Glide that admits 1,000 users using it every day and like running tons of backend automations. The free version of Glide will be, you know, for smaller businesses, nonprofits, individuals. And if you scale and you want real power, if you want to connect to an Oracle database to run Glide's automations on it, like that's
right. You're going to pay for that.
Price tiers. The features.
What is Glide doing?
Customers.
What is Glide doing this year to get new customers? What is the marketing strategy for Glide, especially since the space is becoming more and more crowded? There are a lot of other tools that are doing a great job in terms of marketing. How do you compare Glide to the others, or maybe don't compare, but what would Glide be doing in order to stay as a leading tool in the space?
One thing we're doing is we're kicking off the new year with some really exciting new content series. Our Unstoppable Geniuses campaign is going to have articles and videos featuring some of the incredible Glide customer stories. So you can actually see how real businesses build Glide apps and like the impact it makes. I think for a lot of people, like the concept is still pretty nebulous, and like they can read our website and they just still don't understand like what you can actually do with this. So bringing to life some of those really incredible stories and just sharing them far and wide. Investing a ton in our community and our ecosystem partners. That's one of the major things we did with our fundraise last year, is build out our marketing team towards the end of the year. So we're rebooting our experts program and introducing multiple tiers, creating a lot more support for experts. We're going to like many different no-code conferences, and we're getting outside the no-code bubble. I'm keynoting a conference in Palm Springs in April for field service companies to show them what a breakthrough Glide could be for them in terms of making custom tooling built by anyone in their company. So yeah, mostly, and like just leaning heavily into our community and finding ways to get them excited, give them early access to features, empower them to like share their stories. A lot of it's still going to be this kind of groundswell marketing.
Great. Super excited. David, thanks so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you. And Happy New Year.
Likewise.